Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the West, who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me!
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who!
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable!
Yes, hello, Thursday. So the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Those with the touch, you can better your bet and download the Tab Touch app today. Please gamble responsibly and please call Gambler's Help on 1800 858 858 if you run into any difficulties. Quarters, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Oh, look, I've got to get something off my chest. I've got a confession to make.
Really?
Actually, just hear me out.
Is this with your very small hands on your heart?
It is, mate. I'm feeling, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm just going to come out and say it. I've been unfaithful. I've strayed.
When did this happen?
Yesterday, about 11 o'clock.
A co-broadcaster always knows, you know.
Yeah, well, look, what happened, I'll try and look, Hardball gets our rival podcast. They did ask me to appear on their show.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you know, I wondered whether the grass was greener on the other side.
Yeah, and was it?
I had a look. Oh, yeah.
Was it?
It was very exciting, yeah.
Did you feel guilty?
No, you know what? I walked away. It was fun. It was fun, Duff, but I walked away. I felt guilty the whole way through, and I walked away, and I thought, you know, there's nothing like your home paddock.
Did you feel a bit dirty?
The grass might be greener, but the home paddock is where it's at.
I felt dirty.
I felt used. And, you know, 5 minutes later, after the thrill had subsided, I just felt used.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Just forgive you and take you back?
Well, I'm just asking for forgiveness.
Yeah? Well, look, it just doesn't happen like that, Glenn. Okay. And you notice I'm saying Glenn.
Perhaps we can do lunch at the pub?
You've got to try harder than that, mate. You've got to try harder than that.
Okay, my shout?
Yeah, go again.
A couple of Albie drafts? Pints?
You're getting there now.
Chicken palmy?
You're about the mark now. Yeah, you're about the mark. All right, Glenn. Enough frivolity. Which clearly you've had more than enough of this week. Thank you very much. What's caught your eye?
What's caught my eye? It's been a look. Apart from we'll talk about in a moment everything that's great about Indigenous Round. I love this round of footy. I love everything about it.
Just did a Justin Longmuir press conference. Actually, yep. Welcome to Country to head off the press conference. So they will do all these little things, the AFL, just to acknowledge and include, which I think is fantastic, and it's stuff we need to get more into. Every day in our society, acknowledgement and inclusion.
And look, the AFL clubs have got a lot wrong over the years, but they've also got some things right. And the AFL itself, I reel off this stat every year. I love this stat. 80-plus Indigenous players on AFL list represents 10% plus of AFL list, which marries up well against the 3.3% of Indigenous identified people at our last census. I love those stats. Mm. I love everything about Indigenous Round and Sir Douglas Nicholls Round. It's a great celebration. Dreamtime at the G Saturday night, the Dockers stuff, you know, Eagles will get their chance as well. I just love everything about it.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great round. They've brought so much to the table, Indigenous players. They play the game in an innate and instinctive way. They give us so much pleasure. They continue to. You know, you look at the most watchable players in the AFL, so many of them are Indigenous players. Buddy has probably been the most watchable player.
Kicked the most goals from an Indigenous player.
Of his generation. Shy Bolton at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just electrifies games. And every club has one or two of these players, Michael Walters at Fremantle, Liam Ryan at West Coast. You know, you go through the whole competition. Everyone's
I've just
got
walked
one.
Away from a desk to come in here and the highlights package was up on the screen above me of Cyril. And every time I see it, I just want to cry. I'm thankful for what I had, Duff.
Oh, very
but
good.
I want it again now.
Well, where was that when you're doing Hardball Gets, mate? Where was the thankfulness for what you had then?
Yeah, I know. It's going to be hard to wear that one. I promise I'll make it up to you.
Okay. Interesting times at Essendon.
Yeah, look, given, and particularly given that we're talking about Indigenous Round and their fantastic initiative, and let's not forget another one of Kevin Sheedy's innovations, Green Time at the G. It's a great night. The long walk to the G with Michael Long. Nova Paris has stepped away from that committee, and she won't be doing it. Now, this is all about the CEO at Essendon, Xavier Campbell. Now, just as this is, and it's interesting timing with this stuff, you know, Maximum Impact. It's very sad. Michael Long shouted about this because they're very close, Nova Paris and Michael Long. And so let's hope that they can find some way to unify there.
Also, so what is her beef? Look,
her beef is about her treatment by him. And yep. Also, there's a which came to a head with a statue that they've built for her. That's at the. It's not about the statue. It's about everything behind the financing of moving it to Tullamarine,
yep.
Which Essendon won't pay for, and the AFL's agreed to pay, or the government's agreed to pay half. She just thinks it's the final straw in this relationship, so she stepped away. Also, overnight, there's some supporters who have come to the fore, and they are saying we have been asking. For an audit of the way the club has run for 5-6 years, and nothing's been done at this point. They've gone to the chairman and Paul Brasher and asked for this to be done, and it hasn't. So just a bit of pressure piling on Xavier Campbell at the moment. And like we've seen at the Eagles, when your form's not great on the field, questions tend to be asked even harder. So Essendon... We've seen Ben Rutten come out. He came out this morning and said it's not all about Dylan Shiel, of course, with the Luke Parker shenanigans last weekend. He's saying he reckons Luke Parker was telling the team to lift its intensity, not just Dylan Shiel. So there's Ben Rutten's answer this morning. He's calling for more intensity against Richmond on Saturday night. Let's hope we get it because the event needs it.
It does, and Essendon needs it. Am I right in saying it is now... 19 years since yeah. Essendon won a final. They beat Fremantle in 2003.
Yeah, that'd be right. Yep.
In Perth.
Well, they're not going to get a chance this year.
No.
I thought you were going to say 19 years. I think the long walk's been going for 18 years.
Dreamtime at the G. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
It might
it's a
be
long
that
time,
long.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is that long. Well, there's the website still going, isn't it, since they've won a final?
Yeah, no, that gets
which we love.
Updated every day. Yeah. Would that be done automatically, or would a bloke actually get on there with the and have the pleasure of...
No doubt it'll be a Hawthorn supporter who does this, no doubt.
Manually?
I don't know.
Manually or automatically?
Yeah, it's the joy of it. Every day. Wouldn't you?
I don't know. So Xavier Campbell reappointed.
He was reappointed, wasn't he, recently for 2 years?
Yeah.
So interesting stuff at Essendon.
Should there be more heat on someone like Adrian Dodoro, the list manager at Essendon?
Well, it wasn't so long ago people were picking them to finish in the four, and I put my hand up. So
I must admit, I certainly had him in my eight.
So the list build until recently wasn't deemed to be all that bad. Yeah, look, you're absolutely right. I think more heat should be put on the head of recruiting at all clubs. Yeah, West Coast is one of those.
Yep.
But is this this season just an outlier, a really bad season? I know you've mentioned the 19 years but not winning a final, but we've been seeing a build, haven't we, of sorts, but it's just come to a sudden halt. I think we have, which is, well, why else? I mean, I didn't pick them to finish in the four just on a whim. I thought they were actually building towards something, and I liked their drafting in recent years. Don't forget, you know, they picked up some pretty good talent in the last couple of years in the draft.
Yeah, no, I give them that. So Cox, Reed, and Perkins that in that one draft. So
it's their second year?
That's their second year. So you would like to see them start to impact outcomes for the team next year, I think. Like, as long as they're showing something this year, that's fine. Of course, Harrison Jones is another one that we haven't seen much of this year. They've got – these are all – tall, rangy, athletic type. So hopefully that has an impact at some stage.
Interesting, you know, a player like Harry Jones, you're up and about when he's drafted, up and about first games, and then you realise this is a tough school, the AFL.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he has had his injuries. But, you know, you don't just walk into this competition and very few do, and start dominating. It's a tough old school. So I you look at the recruiting, there's an argument there. But I think there's a bit to play out from the top down at this footy club at the moment.
There's news also on the AFLW front quarters.
Yeah, very big. So this is not confirmed yet, but this is what we think is happening. There's a Gil McLachlan, Paul Marsh, head of the AFLPA conference today. So what we think is happening is they're after, AFL was after a three-year CBA with the women. They're getting a one-year deal. It will be a... AFLW are pushing for a 14-week season. It's going to be a 10-week season plus 4 weeks of finals. So it was three, I think.
3 weeks.
Going up to four. Of course, we'll have a full complement of teams this year, 18 teams. So it'll be a final eight. So it'll operate the same way pretty well the AFL does.
Will they split this into two conferences or something like that?
I don't know yet. I don't know the answer to that yet. We'll be finding that out today.
Because that's going to be an interesting structure. Like, there's going to be the potential to skew... The outcome, if you're only playing half the teams in the competition, which is basically what they're going to be doing, and you end up with, they're going to have to split the expansion teams, aren't they, between two groups, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, you've got the new, well, when you say expansion teams, it's sort of, you start a club and it's expansion team now in the AFLW. Hawthorn comes in. We've seen how hard it's been for the Eagles. There's a couple of other clubs coming in this year. Port's one of them, I think. They've recruited really well, Port.
The hope with Port was that they were going to thin Adelaide out. They've thinned everyone else out.
Yeah, they have. They have. So, but with all of this comes, minimum wage will rise from 20,000 to 39,000.
So that's basically double.
It's basically double. So they're ticking along. There's going to be an element of sharing the collective income with the men. Obviously, there's not going to be parity, but... there'll be I think that's a significant rise from 20 to 39,000 for the minimum wage.
Yep.
Top tier, I think, is going to be, is it 70?
I think it's over 70.
Yeah.
So what you're looking at is the top tier players, given that this will be, it's a 10-week season, you prepare for 2 months, there's a 4-week final, so potentially 5 months of the season, so half your year. So the top tier players will potentially be pretty much full-time, and the bottom tier players will be able to earn a living for that period under which they're playing footy.
So you've got your pre-season.
They'll probably need another job.
Then you've got your 14-week season if you're playing finals. So starting in August, and I think the real heat was on the AFL and the AFLW here, was that when is the season starting? Give us some clarity, because we've all got jobs. But most of them have got jobs. So
they'll start training now.
They will start training now.
You'd think.
Yep, they will.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Look, I like the fact. So when's the grand final?
Well,
to be,
if it starts in August, and you'd think they would have a couple of weeks off, you wouldn't think they would play in grand final week, would you?
No.
So therefore, you think they get that week off. I would imagine the grand final's going to be, I don't know, mid-November, late November, maybe?
So what I like about it is I think it has to have its own airtime, its own free airtime and its own time slot. I don't like the culmination of the AFLW happening with the start of the AFL.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It just swamps it. It completely overruns it. I don't like it. It's becoming a great competition, the AFLW. It deserves to be celebrated in its own time. So I'm really pleased about that. Going to be really interesting to see when they play the GF.
Yeah, well, it's shaping up as end of November, early December,
stretch
isn't it?
Can you stretch it and play it on New Year's Eve?
No, don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be interfering with...
No one will be watching.
I would argue it should go no later than the first couple of weeks of December.
Yep.
And if they can get that far, then maybe they should extend the home and away season. I don't have a problem with the three-week final series, to be honest with you. And I'm not sure why they're extending that out to four. I would keep that at three and try and get a longer home and away season.
Yeah, okay.
If I was them.
Well, everything will be re-looked at next year.
Yeah.
Because this is only a one-year agreement. So they probably look at it, see how it works, and go next year. Of course, they've parked the AFL decision on the timing of the grand final too for now. But I think that there's a bit of other stuff ahead of it, e.g. today's decision.
Yeah.
And they'll get back to that. If I was a betting man, I'd say it's going to be a twilight game. Yourself?
Yep.
Which I like.
I do. But I don't feel – I'm not going to die in the ditch over when the grand final is.
No, neither will I. I've come around. I was a rusted-on traditionalist 2 p.m., 2:30 p.m. Melbourne grand bounce down. But I've come around. I love the nighttime spectacle or the twilight spectacle finishing at nighttime.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Worked well here too. We did a lot here, didn't we, to push that argument along in WA?
Oh, it was magnificent. The spectacle put on it Optus Stadium for the grand final last year was nothing short of magnificent. And I think it caught the eye over there.
Mate, we better tip some winners and then we can get on to what's a long mailbag.
How'd you go last week?
Yeah, not bad. 7. I'm pretty happy with that. And to be honest, feel a bit stiff about Geelong. Thought I was at home at half time.
Yeah. How are they going, the Cats, you reckon?
Finishing where I thought they would. Either at the very bottom end of the 8 or outside it.
Yeah, I had them just in the 8, and I'm not seeing anything to suggest they're going to be much further than
that.
And
at some stage, they'll be like, over they go, and when they hit the bottom, they'll look to their left, and they'll go, oh, g'day, boys. Good to see you. Be the Eagles.
Don't be cruel.
I'm not being cruel. I'm just saying that's what they'll say. They'll see them there. They're clearly there.
And then they can have a discussion about the Tim Kelly trade and the Jeremy Cameron trade.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
So what
you don't like the Jeremy Cameron trade?
Well, what does Geelong have to do for the Jeremy Cameron trade to work? See, I would argue it's more than having your ass handed to you in a preliminary final,
okay,
which is what happened last year.
So win a flag or it doesn't count?
No,
same as Kelly?
No, I think you'd want to be up to your eyeballs late in a preliminary final, not run out, get your clock cleaned, run off.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're getting that far this year.
Well, if they're not getting that far this year and Tommy Hawkins comes back spent, then the Jeremy Cameron trade is going to be about as much good to Geelong
as the
Tim Kelly trade was to West Coast.
Interesting. He's been good for them, though.
Jeremy Cameron?
Mm.
Has he?
I think he has, yes.
Not yet he hasn't.
Oh, I think he has, mate.
Not yet he hasn't.
I think you're harsh.
No, I'm not. I think, look, I'm not disputing that Jeremy Cameron's a good player and continues to be a good player, but I'm not saying that Tim Kelly's not a good player and continues to be a good player. But when you do a trade like that and you're given up multiple top enders in the draft, you have to contend. Now, did Geelong contend last year? I'm not sure they did.
Oh, they contended. Well, there's an argument to be put that they were struck down by a virus right at when it counted.
Yeah, keep going with that one.
Yeah, okay.
Keep going with that one. Do you think they were going to get anywhere near Melbourne that night? Exactly.
No.
All right, Carlton versus Sydney. Sydney are $1.85. Sydney favourites. $1.85 with Tab Touch.
Why are they favourites?
I don't know.
This is at Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, Carlton $1.95.
I do not know why.
No Harry Mackay.
Okay, no James Rowbottom. Okay, you'll take Mackay ahead of Rowbottom, but he's significant to their midfield.
I think Mackay's more important than
Rowbottom. Yeah, he is, but they didn't hurt them last week.
Yeah.
So I'm picking Carlton here, mate. But, I think there's an element of trust about this brand now, this on-field brand with Carlton. I don't think you're going to get a shocker like you would in the past or a real banana skin game. Sydney, don't forget, last week, good win, but a couple of weeks before that, they were tapering a little bit. So I think Sydney plays finals this year, but I still think they can be inconsistent, particularly on the road, and I think Carlton win this game.
Yeah, I'd put Sydney around about the mark with Fremantle. I think, yes, playing finals, and if they play their best footy in finals, they can threaten a lot of teams in finals, but I think they've got a bit of improving to do. My recommendation to Luke Parker, got no problem with what he did last weekend to... Dylan Shield, don't try it with Paddy Cripps. That's my recommendation.
Well, he won't. He's not stupid.
Otherwise,
he picked his target well.
Otherwise, you might see Paddy coming out of the centre square with forearm flexed, ready for the tackle.
You know why I didn't mind it, mainly? Because he can back it up.
Yeah.
When you can't back it up, that's when it grates on you. Back it up every day of the week.
I don't have any problem with it whatsoever. I have a problem with the way Essendon responded to it.
Absolutely.
As in not at all.
Yeah.
And as you say, Luke Parker is a bloke who'll put his head in the hole.
Well, he has to now.
Yeah.
He has in the past.
Yeah.
He's never flinched, but he has to now.
He can't have a bad moment now.
Nope, he can't.
All right, so both Carlton. Geelong versus Port Adelaide. Geelong are $1.40, Port Adelaide are $2.95. Clearly some aren't as convinced as others about Port's
four
in a row.
Was it you saying earlier in the week you reckon Port's are special? So someone told me, get on, they are a special.
Well, that'd be your rogue... accomplices on Hardball Gets, Glenn.
It could have been too.
Yeah.
Might have been Xavier Ellis.
You got to remember, mate, when you're out on the town playing around, you got to remember the names.
Yeah.
You know, what you said to who.
Sometimes I can't.
You've got to get your lies in a row.
When I'm out in the town playing around, I don't remember names. I don't wake up the next morning and remember names.
All right.
I'm not picking against Geelong at GMHBA at the Alphabet Stadium. I'm not prepared to. I'll give Port a chance. I love where Port's going. I think they play finals. But you're just going to have to put the cue in the rack for 1 week because you're not winning this game.
Geelong $1.40, Port Adelaide $2.95. I'm saying Geelong wins this. And I'm have to say, if Geelong doesn't win this, I'm losing a lot of faith in Geelong.
Geelong doesn't win this, you'd almost say Port replaced them in that back end of the eight.
Yes.
And will stay there.
And then we
so
can,
it's Port and Bulldogs aren't far out of it.
We can talk some more about the Jeremy Cameron trade.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Is he solely responsible for that? You're big on Jeremy Cameron.
No, right? I'm just saying that when you give up three first-round draft picks mm-hmm. for a player, you have to contend for a flag.
Yeah, okay.
Particularly with a list the age of Geelong.
Yep, okay.
It's that simple. It's no reflection on Jeremy Cameron. It's a reflection on what the club has to do to make the trade work.
Okay, so Geelong for both of us?
Yep. Western Bulldogs versus Gold Coast. Western Bulldogs $1.43 with Tab Touch. Gold Coast $2.80.
This is back at Mars. Not on Mars, at Mars.
Yeah,
and this is in Ballarat.
I'm betting it's going to be a tad chillier than it was when the Crows played
so
there.
So I'm happy to pick the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Is English back? Interesting one that will be.
But I'm thinking he's not back yet.
So that's interesting, that. Gold Coast going along all right at the moment. Good win, of course, against Freo last week.
And handled greasy conditions very well.
Yes.
Every chance of greasy conditions in Ballarat.
Well, there will be greasy conditions in Ballarat. It'll be cold.
And for those who aren't familiar with what Ballarat means in Indigenous, what does it mean, Glenn?
Hole in the ground. It's correct. Two words, Ballarat.
Ballarat. Yeah. Hole
in the ground.
In the ground.
But I'm not prepared to say it's a hole. Ballarat's a
it's
fine.
It's a hole in the ground.
It's a fine city.
Yes, fine city. In summer.
And when we were kids, because it's an old gold mining town, you'd go there.
Yes.
And you'd go to Sovereign Hill,
and you'd go to
oldy worldy mining town,
and you'd go to holes in the ground.
No, yes, you'd no. It's an alluvial situation.
Oh, alluvial.
Yeah.
Right.
So you'd pan for gold in the little streams there,
right.
And you'd never go home without your wanted poster. So it'd be wanted Glenn Quatermain for nicking a loaf of bread or whatever. You'd have it on your wall and have the burnt edges and everything, and there'd be a little photo of you.
Or unidentified subject.
All
distinguishing features. Very, very small hands.
That's what it did. Yes, that's what it did say at the time. Anyway, it's a great city. I think the Dogs get this done, but it's not going to be easy. I think the Gold Coast bring a very competitive brand most weeks.
Interesting, Justin Longmuir gave Stewie Dew a big pump up after they beat Fremantle last week and basically said that when Gold Coast lose, they tend to cop it. He said they're very well coached, they're very well set up defensively, so it'll be interesting to see how that defence copes against the Western Bulldogs, given their midfield got cranking last week. I'm going the Dogs.
Yep.
North Melbourne versus Melbourne. Hey, tell me this, all right? This is Melbourne $1.01, North Melbourne $17. The AFL likes to skew the draft to favour lower teams, right? So early in the season in particular, when you're trying to give supporters hope, basically, you get to play a lot of teams who were towards the bottom of the ladder last year.
Mm-hmm.
North Melbourne's had a pretty tough run for a team that finished down the bottom.
Yeah, they have, haven't they? Yeah, they have.
Does that make you suspicious that the AFL is thinking, I mean, you don't fight City Hall, do you? Does that make you suspicious the AFL's thinking, well, if it gets bad enough for them, they might agree to go to Tasmania?
Jeez, that's a big call.
That's dark.
I reckon
it?
That's a long bow, and that's dark. Dark. You've
dark.
Come from a dark place with that.
I come from Darken, which actually means black rock.
Does it?
Apparently.
Is there a black rock there?
There is somewhere. Oh. I've never seen it, but apparently there is somewhere, and apparently it was a landmark for Indigenous people, and there is a black rock somewhere near the town.
Obviously on someone's private property. Look, I'm not sure about that, to be honest. All I know is that I won't be picking North Melbourne in this game at Marvel Stadium.
No, neither will
I. So how many games have been 17 and 101 this year?
Well, West Coast a couple of times, and now North Melbourne for this one. And even though Melbourne came to Perth last week, and you always wonder about the trip back from Perth, I think Melbourne will be winning this game.
So it's interesting, North, where they're at. We know that they're a young list. We know we like some of them, but have some of them come on this year. Maybe it's time for those middle-tier players, Tarryn Thomas, etc. They're not kids anymore. They've had a couple of years in it. Maybe they need to lift and arrest these horrendous first quarters they've been happening.
So the one I would challenge, I challenge two. Simpkin.
Yep.
Who I think is, you know, a very accomplished player and a very vibrant midfielder. He'd be one. And the other one I'd be challenged is Luke Davies-Uniacke. Mm-hmm. Now, Luke Davies-Uniacke's become a very good player, but he was the same draft as Andy Brayshaw. And Andy Brayshaw is now the clear leader of the Fremantle midfield. They're the same age, those blokes.
So it just expends so much energy when you're trying to claw back that first quarter deficit.
Yeah.
Every week they're doing it, and it's just hard work for them. And I know Tarrant hasn't played a lot at Richmond, but how big a loss has he been out of their back line?
Yeah, I would argue Cunnington's their best player and their strongest body around the middle. And
they have missed that leadership, haven't they?
The younger players at North Melbourne have tended to play around Ben Cunnington, and without him, I think that's left a massive hole. And you're right about Tarrant, the big body at the back, the bloke you can put on the opposition's best forward and know that he's not going to get his pants completely
pulled
down.
So who's Melbourne got next week?
Fremantle. Glenn.
Interesting. Coming off West Coast and North.
Well, let's just see how
keep your form up.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're getting ahead of yourself like you did when you went and did hardball gets. I think
good,
you know,
old fashioned ambush coming.
Yeah, good.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, I'm just hoping to see a better performance from Fremantle this week.
We'll get to that game, but that will happen.
All right, Melbourne comfortably. Adelaide versus St Kilda in Adelaide. The Saints, people starting to get some faith in the Saints, $1.37.
Steal massive outs. Courageous effort to finish the game last week. However, I will stick to my new philosophy, my new policy, Duff.
So
when
St.
there
Kilda
is a team, okay, when there is a team ranked alongside or below them and Marshall and Ryder play, I am always picking St Kilda. This on the road, even this on the road. So I'm picking them.
Where are they relative to the meaty part of mediocrity now?
I think they're climbing out of the meaty part of mediocrity.
Are they the top end of mediocrity now?
I think they're the top end of mediocrity. Looking outside that bubble.
I think they're
not yet out of it.
I think they're the bottom end of very good.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, I think they're clear of mediocrity.
Okay.
All right.
Not a lot clear, though.
No, maybe not. Could easily tumble back in, but I think they're out of there. St Kilda $1.37, Adelaide $3.10. Not a lot to recommend the Crows over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, no.
And as you say, Paddy Ryder and Rowan Marshall, very big for the Saints.
Yeah, and look, Marshall gets a chop out. Ryder goes forward. He's very hard to combat there. Great game from him last weekend. So it's a great combination. Maybe the most important 1-2 combination in the competition relative to their team's performance. Those two, don't you reckon?
Next game, Dream.
Ooh.
Dreamtime at the G.
I love this game. Love this fixture. Essendon. You know, I feel like I'm talking like we were about West Coast a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Like I want a win at the contest from Essendon.
Yep.
Richmond, I'm still not convinced they're better than top six. Everyone's talking them up like they're a flag danger. I don't have them there yet. They haven't beaten anyone, in my opinion, to warrant that. But I think they probably play bottom end of the finals. And this game they win. They'll beat Essendon. They're playing too well. I don't know who stands Lynch. Their midfield's just cranking at the moment, Richmond. Got plenty to like down back. Essendon's just finding its way. I reckon a win at the contest by them and a 4-6 goal loss would be okay in my book for Essendon this week.
So $1.26, the Tigers, and Essendon $3.80. You're absolutely right as to who stands Tommy Lynch. I've got no idea.
No, you look at the Essendon back line and you go, I don't know who plays where. I don't know. There's nothing of substance there at the moment.
Given that Richmond have a touch of the old Tiger mongrel about them.
Yeah. They're up and about.
You wonder how the Bombers are going to cope with that.
Jeez.
This is the ideal game, you know, for Essendon coming off what happened against
Big
Sydney.
Big stage,
tough opponent, a slightly gnarly opponent.
Slightly gnarly.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They can get a bit nasty, the Tigers. So, yeah, it'd be fascinating to see. I think you've got to put your best foot forward, got to put your head over the ball.
Win or halve the contest, I'd be happy with that this week from Essendon.
Yeah, no, I think Essendon are good enough to, on talent-wise, I think they're good enough to stretch Richmond. So I agree that's the starting point, the contest, but I think if they do that, I think they should be in this game. So it'd be fascinating to see. I'm going to tip the Tigers, but I do agree with you. They haven't beaten a hell of a lot just yet. All right, GWS versus West Coast. GWS, $1.10. Geez, they're long odds when you're playing West Coast at the moment. Mm. West Coast are $7.
They've come in.
They have come in, yes.
Because they're playing the Giants.
What do you reckon? What can we expect from West Coast? What do you demand of West Coast this week, given the state?
What we have the last two. Nothing more.
Go hard in the content.
Well, we're expecting Shuey back, aren't we?
Maybe.
He's just a maybe. So Gaff is also just a maybe?
Well, can you keep... I mean, this is the problem for West Coast. And I know they're hamstrung because of availability. Yeah. And Luke Shuey is literally hamstrung. But can you keep playing these guys when you know they're not quite fit to be AFL, playing in the AFL?
No.
So does Luke Shuey not play then?
If he's 100%, yes. If he's not 100%, no.
Yeah, well...
Or 90% plus, I'll do.
How does he get to be 100%?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why he has to weigh up that decision at the end of the year, what he does.
Yeah, I think it's a big decision. This is the Giants' first game under Mark McVay, by the way, with James Hurd as an assistant.
So what I want is a win or a halve at the contest, as they have pretty much done the last few weeks. I like 2.5 quarters against Melbourne last week, but again, it's a 74-point loss, and we're happy with that, which shows you where they're at the moment. So I'm saying win or halve the contest, and a 6-goal loss, I'd be comfortable with that from West Coast.
You know what? I think they can get closer than that. I think they can turn this game into a 10, 11, or 12-goal to GWS game to 6, 7, 8, or 9 goals to West Coast. I'm going to tip GWS to win. I think West Coast will compete pretty strongly here.
You know what suits them? So this is GWS at the moment. Tend to move the ball. We know how talented their halfbacks and midfield is and some of their defence. You know, they move the ball beautifully and then they get to sort of approaching inside 50. They just bomb it in every single time. They bomb it in.
Yep.
So they give the defence a first-class look at everything coming in, which will absolutely suit the Eagles to the ground. If they play this smart... and just have a bit of a look, lower the eyes, have a look at that Giants forward line, and don't bomb it in, then I think they can win by 6 goals plus.
All right.
But if they just play as they have been, I think the West Coast can stretch them.
All right, so we're both on the Giants. Hawthorn versus Brisbane on Sunday.
Bit of a sneaky about this game.
Go on. Mount the case for your boys.
Well, I'm mounting the case in that it's in Tassie.
Launceston.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Now you've
got my attention.
Well, you've stopped rolling your eyes.
I have.
So, see, there's a chance down there. Always a chance in Lonnie.
I've stopped sort of like scanning the phone book for divorce lawyers.
Yes.
All right. Brisbane are $1.30 with Tab Touch. Hawthorn are $3.45.
Okay. So a couple of significant ins for the Hawks. CJ returns.
Yes.
He's important to Hawthorn. Tom Mitchell returns. He's been very ill the last 2-3 weeks, which probably explains partly his low possession count about 3 weeks, well, against Essendon. Also, he's playing a different role now, playing more half forward.
So is this the Melbourne flu, or is this post-COVID?
Don't know. I would assume it's post-COVID because the Melbourne flu, as we know, is probably COVID. That's not just the Melbourne Footy Club, by the way. That's every club.
No. I think there's a lot of eye-rolling going on over this side of the Nullarbor about the illness, in inverted commas, that are a lot of players are coming out of games with.
So, look, Brisbane, I'm picking Brisbane to win this game. Hawthorn at the moment really struggling to see 4 quarters out. But again, last week against Richmond, in it up to their eyeballs till late in the game. Richmond too good in the end. Always looked like they were going to win that game. A bit like Melbourne against Hawthorn a few weeks earlier. But look, Hawthorn on the right track. In Tassie, absolutely, there could be an upset here. So it's a bit of a, for me, it's a must-watch game, but I'm picking Brisbane.
Okay, so I'm going to pick Brisbane. I think Brisbane are on a roll. I think they're emerging as the second-best team after Melbourne, and I think this would be a massive slip-up if they let
If their midfield down. Can't get a hold of Hawthorn's midfield, where the Hawthorn midfield's at, then they're not trying.
Yeah. I agree. All right, last game of the round, Fremantle versus Collingwood, Optus Stadium, Sunday afternoon. Fremantle are $1.24, Collingwood are $4.10. I did the Justin Longmuir press conference this morning.
Yes.
So the news out of that is Sam Switkowski will play. They're all but certain of that unless...
Good
unless
effort.
Unless he has
I was really worried about that 2 weeks ago. That knee, pretty violent knee to the back of the head.
Yeah.
Innocent, but violent knee to the back of the head.
So he is back. He thinks that Matt Taberner will probably be back, but it's got a few things to tick off. He's missed several weeks with a hamstring. Michael Walters comes out of health and safety protocols later today. Now, the attitude there was Michael Walters has been running a lot on a treadmill in his own home. They think he will be okay, but he's touch and go. So generally speaking, they've been very cautious about playing guys coming out of those protocols on a Thursday before they play at the weekend. What changes that a bit with Michael Walters is they don't play until Sunday, so therefore they have a chance to get a couple of runs into him. He would need to train very well during those runs, and he would need to pull up well for him to play on Sunday. And, of course, the other one is Alex Pierce, who came off as was subbed out of the game last week. And he thinks Alex Pierce will put his hand up to play. And I put the question to him, well, given Alex's injury history, should you maybe just sit him down for a week and get him right? And he said the doctor's advice is that a week won't fix this. So basically Alex Pierce is facing a pain management situation for the rest of the season.
Hasn't he always been on that?
Probably. Mm. When you've had two or three broken legs or lower leg fractures.
Remarkable, really, that he's been able to get back out there. And when he does get out there, he never really lets you down, does he, Alex Pierce?
Yeah, he's a remarkable athlete. I mean, he's 200 centimetres. He's lightning quick. It's a very rare combination. Mm. You're talking about like Darcy Moore sort of athleticism. So I agree. And he's a great leader of their defence as well. That's the other thing. He's a great marshaller of others. So they clearly value him.
It's going to be important this week. You know, they can stun you, Collingwood. Collingwood have been tapering for me. They've not. They haven't looked the same side for two or three weeks. Very young, a bit like Hawthorn in that you're going to drop away from week to week. You're going to have pockets of the season where you just can't fight, you can't muster it. And I think they're at that at the moment. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do. But they're not without talent up forward. Degoe, Majacek, Cameron can get down there. You know, they've got a pretty good defence, Collingwood. So if they get it on their terms, they're every chance. I think we'll see a different Fremantle to what we saw at Metricon.
Well, that's an interesting comment you make, because Justin Longmuir's point today, a couple of things. He said, we got a lot right last week. He said,
did they?
Well, 65 inside 50s.
Okay.
He basically said the game was played in their forward half, and he said nothing happened. And that was the problem. Well, two problems. He doesn't believe they pushed back hard enough to give their defence help, and they did not make enough of their forward 50 entries, which is stating the obvious, really. 65 to 35 and you lose.
Why didn't they push back hard enough? I mean, it was a very wet game, but it's not a heavy ground. It's actually good surface there.
Probably sometimes when you're pushing forward and nothing's happening, you overcommit to offence trying to make something happen. And you get caught out of position. I think Gold Coast were able to manipulate what I would call traffic management very well. That is keeping Fremantle's forward 50 full of players and keeping their own forward 50 devoid of players. And then they just cashed in on Marbia Chole's athleticism.
Terrific performance from him, yeah. I'm picking Fremantle. I think they'll win this by 3 to 5 goals. I'm pretty confident they'll bounce back this week. I think last week was a bit of an outlier. Fremantle will drop games. But, yeah, I'm confident enough in their system for them to get this one done.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Fremantle. Bit of a danger game. We'll be wet again, we're told. It'll rain on Sunday, so they need to make more of those forward 50 opportunities.
So I'll be sitting in the outer this week.
Big game in the context of Fremantle season, because don't forget Melbourne comes next after this.
So I've got to take my anorak.
Your anorak?
Yes, my wet weather gear.
Oh,
My puffy jacket.
Okay.
I'm sitting in the outer this week with my friends from Kentucky.
Oh, very good. Mm.
Looking forward to it. So I'll be able to introduce them to...
The ones with the cats.
Yes, yes. I'll be able to introduce them to the great... we're talking about Katie and Greg Keeley from Kentucky.
Yes.
Greg being a local boy who was a sports broadcaster.
Used to call the basketball.
Was taught to call football by George Grilicic, I learnt this week.
Is there that right?
They're here. They're in the air as we speak. They'll be here. Looking forward to introducing Katie, who's American, to the great unwashed, that being Collingwood. I'll be able to use my favourite Collingwood joke.
Which is?
Collingwood supporter invented the toothbrush. Otherwise, it would be called a teeth brush. Boom, boom.
Quick follow-up. Collingwood supporter riding a bike along the road. Why do you not run him over?
Because it might be your bike.
It's probably your bike. Exactly.
Okay, on that note, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Yes, thank you to Thirsty Camel. Thank you to Gage, Rhodes, Albie, Draft. We'll be giving a carton away today, Duff. and we'll be selected.
Can't wait.
Plenty of emails. Please keep them coming. Keep them short. Most of you are. This one from Brad Brown. Surely the hastily developed and implemented on the fly dissent rule needs revision. Don't get me wrong, umpire abuse and serious dissent is not on and should be dealt with, but this interpretation is just not hitting the mark. To penalise a player with a 50-metre penalty, like the instance of Buku Karmas of the Dogs for looking quizzically at the umpire after what was a clear shove in the back, is just mind-bending. Perhaps the answer is to really punish genuine dissent and abuse to an umpire with a fine or suspension to the individual. That way it can be looked at by the MRP in the cold light of day, judged fairly, and a suitable punishment levy. Thoughts? And that is from Brad from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina.
Woohoo! So, no, I'm standing my ground on this. I think Buku Karmas clearly got a bad decision, but clearly showed dissent, was visible dissent. He stood there with his arms out for a long time. It wasn't what happened. It was what the...
Are they getting better? Because I don't mind the rule, given what we need to do to replenish umpire stocks at the community level and upwards, but... Is there too much inconsistency still?
There's definitely inconsistency, and I'd prefer the umpires got on the same page with this. But my even on that front, my argument is if you do it, you run the risk. So don't do it. Put your arms out. The umpire has the right to use that as the trigger to pay 50. So don't do it. Simple as that. Basically, there has been a stipulation, and it's publicly stated, that if you put your arms out, that can and will be viewed as dissent. Now, not every umpire is forcing that, but if you do it, they're on the record as saying it's viewed as dissent.
I'm surprised none of them have said, I caught a fish and it was this big. Haven't used that
or
one.
Something else.
Yeah. This one, Duff and Quarters. A lot has been said about Adam Simpson and Trevor Nisbet's positions. However, the Eagles now have 17 players on their injury list. They may get to a point where they need top-up players through injury alone. Not from COVID. At what point do West Coast question their strength and conditioning program and start to make some personnel changes? That was from Michael Brennan. But I'm not sure if it's the Michael Brennan 1992-94 premiership player.
It's a good question.
Mm.
And I think they already are. I think one of the things they're reviewing is how many of these injuries are avoidable. You know what I think's happened a bit at West Coast? I think a lot of these injuries are impact injuries and a lot of them were suffered over summer. And I was talking to a couple of the crusty old blokes that tend to hang around footy clubs, a couple of blokes that we both know, they shall remain nameless. They're blokes that hang around West Coast. Their view of it, and this was before round one, when the injuries were piling up before COVID had hit the club, et cetera, and we're going jeepers. They just lost three players before halftime in the first practice match against Fremantle. And their view of it was that West Coast people looked out the window when Western Bulldogs and Melbourne teams were training sometimes at Lathlane Park in the lead up to the grand final, and they went, gee, these blokes go a bit harder than us. Because I can tell you right now that one thing we noticed about West Coast training in the Adam Simpson years, as opposed to Ross Lyon training in his time at Fremantle, was that the Ross Lyon training sessions were very much about structure, and the Adam Simpson training sessions were very much about skill execution.
Yeah.
And maybe they tipped too far towards skill execution. Maybe there wasn't enough vigour and physicality in their training sessions. And you know what happens when you try and correct that? You get the pendulum effect and it swings a little bit too far the other way. And the other thing, because the players aren't used to training it, they're a little bit more susceptible to injury. They got impact injuries. They kept coming. And then the COVID stuff came on top of that. That is the perfect storm for West Coast.
Very similar email from Kim Reynolds. So thank you, Kim. This one from Robert Jurovich. Hi, guys. Love the podcast. Good work. Question. What does Sam Sturt have to do? What has to happen for him to get a look in? I understand he's getting loading in the waffle from a return from injury and a modified pre-season. Justin Longmuir is on the record saying he's quality and will come in at some stage. When?
So there's a couple of things. Fremantle are trading very heavily on pressure, and that's not necessarily what Sam Sturt brings. Sam Sturt finishes. I would liken him to Bailey Fritsch. And probably, if you're looking for someone at Fremantle who you like him to, it's a bit like Michael Walters.
Don't you need a finisher?
You do, but they have Michael Walters.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, Bailey Banfield applies high pressure, Sam Switkowski applies high pressure, Lachie Schultz applies high pressure, Travis Collier is very quick and therefore can apply high pressure, Michael Frederick the same. Michael Frederick had two disposals one game, and Fremantle's rated his game pretty solid just because of the pressure and the run and the chase down that he gave them. So that probably is the issue, is what they're looking for. Now, at some point, and it may be the week after you kick four goals from 65 inside 50s, they might say, it's time we got some finish. Mm. Sam Sturt is regularly kicking his two and three goals for Peel as a small to mid-sized forward who can catch it and play taller than his height. So, yeah, could be next this week, could be next week, could be any time, really.
This one from Curtis Killian. Hello, Duff and Quarters. Good to see, if reports are true, that Ben Cousins is tracking well. I believe he's been doing a weekly footy segment on Channel 7 News. Yes, he has been. When do you guys think he should be in the conversation to be admitted into the AFL Hall of Fame? His on-field performances and leadership speak for itself, and yes, we all know about his off-field issues in the past, but surely he needs to enter the conversation at some point due to his on-field successes. Love your work. Cheers, Curtis from Wandy.
It's a really good question. Mm. That's a really good question. I suspect that the AFL has Ben's best interest in mind with this at the moment. It was a big deal for Ben to go to the Brownlow and go onto the red carpet. People around Ben were quite nervous about that. You know, how does he cope with being back in the limelight, etc., etc. We've seen him doing a regular stint on Channel 7 since then. That's been great. Mm. You know,
he looks well.
He does. He looks. I've had a few conversations with him. He is very well. He's well within himself. He's happy within himself. He's making good steps forward. But let's not forget, Ben has to make an almost daily commitment.
Yes.
To keeping himself on the straight and narrow. That is a challenge. I suspect the AFL is just waiting for him to get that right over a lengthy period of time before they say, let's not give him too much heady atmosphere before we do that.
Yeah, I think no doubt down the track he is absolutely worthy entry into the Hall of Fame and will be. Just got it. Well said, Duff. I think that's 100%. Hi, Duff and Quarters. With the rumours around Logue making the news, regardless whether it's a tactic from his manager, surely not, or if there is any more to it, I wonder whether a cross-town trade would be a win-win in McGovern for Logue. Logue suits the youth profile West Coast will be looking for, and McGovern could help add to what Freo are building as the window has opened slightly earlier than possibly expected. As a Freo fan, I would rather keep Logue. But if he is to leave and the appeal of staying in WA is attractive to him, could this work for all involved? Cheers, Daniel Fielder.
Yeah, the interesting thing as this heats up, I reckon, is going to be if West Coast is last or second last, as is, you know, strongly possible, they may target a player through the preseason draft. Now, the question is, would that be Griffin Logue? My argument is that Griffin Logue is not the absolute top end of priorities of players that they need. To me, they need big-bodied, quick midfielders, so therefore, are there any of them that might be coming available in the near future? You know, if...
So do you get nervous? So he's apparently parked negotiations right now.
Yeah.
Griffin Logue, do you get nervous about that?
Well, I think the thing for Griffin is that, and up to a degree, clubs have to face the reality that they've got to use him or lose him.
Mm.
So Griffin's played most of the games, but he has been dropped a couple of times, and there is this feeling that Justin Longmuir wants bounce and rebound and speed on the ball from the back, which Griffin doesn't necessarily give you.
But he gives you so much else. I mean, he can play tall or small. He's reasonably quick.
He's a very, very good player, yeah. Griffin Logue. To me, Griffin Logue is a genuine AFL key defender of some quality. Mm. If I was the Western Bulldogs, for example, I would be making a lot of inquiries about Griffin Logue. And I'd be saying to Griffin, mate, what? Not leaving Perth is an absolute must for you. I would have thought Griffin's, what is he, in his mid-20s now?
Mm.
I would have thought he could cope with going over there for 10 months of the year and coming back for a couple of months of the year. So the Western Bulldogs, to me, if Griffin was to decide he needs better opportunities, he is almost the perfect fit for them. He gives them another quality tall at the back. He can play small if they need him to. He's a big, strong body. He's a great athlete. He's already shown he can
they
shut
probably
down.
Probably need two, don't they? Two defenders, the Dogs.
Yeah.
One really good intercept of the McGovern ilk, someone like him or him, and someone like a Logue.
What makes me nervous with Fremantle about Logue is Alex Pearce's checkered history with injuries. You know, if you could say with some reliability that Alex Pearce was going to be fine for the next 3 to 4 years, then I'd say, well, probably it may be to Fremantle's advantage to trade Griffin Logue, but you can't say that really based on what we've seen. And in Fremantle's lineup, if you're looking at like for like, even though they're a different body shape and a different height, Griffin Logue is another Alex Pearce in Fremantle structure. Brennan Cox is the Jeremy McGovern. Griffin Logue and Alex Pearce are the Tommy Barras.
Yep.
So that's why it's not absolutely certain that he will be in their best 22 if everyone's available.
This one from Matt Haythornthwaite. Hi, guys. Matt from Vancouver again. After the success of the Dreamtime in Perth last year, why don't Freo get involved and continue the long walk in Perth each year? Have Michael Long fly over after the G and get the retired Indigenous doctors involved and make it a marquee game. Look, I loved it last year. I love this email. I love the suggestion. And I love Michael Long and for all he's done, but surely we don't have to get Michael Long to fly over. We've got plenty of Indigenous greats over here who can fill that role.
Stephen Michael, Peter Matera.
Just keep going, yeah.
Chris Lewis, et cetera. Jeff Farmer. We have Billy Dempsey, who, of course, will be the player honoured in this Sir Doug Nicholls round. And incidentally, what a great story Billy Dempsey is.
Yeah.
343 games for West Perth. Came down as the buddy of a bloke that West Perth were really interested in, a bloke called Jimmy Anderson, who people who watched Jimmy Anderson play in the Northern Territory described him as an absolute Rolls-Royce of footballers. Jimmy came down, said to Bill, "You're coming down with me, I need a mate, need some company." Bill came down, kept coming back. Jimmy went back to Darwin, didn't come back. Bill Dempsey became a legend of the West Perth Football Club.
And as Bill often says, played a lot with Graham Polly Farmer. He says, "Yeah, look, he had me in ability, but I was better looking."
He also tells a great story about the Simpson Medal. So Bill Dempsey won the Simpson Medal for the best player on the ground. I think it was the 1969 Grand Final. He took that medal to his mother, who was his hero and his role model in life, and presented it to her. And she thought it was the Simpson Desert Medal. And no, Mum, it's not the Simpson Desert Medal. It's the Simpson Medal. It's named after the Simpson family. Oh, it's the bloody Simpson Desert Medal. The Simpson Medal that Bill Dempsey won was lost in Cyclone Tracy.
Oh, wow. Is that right?
It turned up years later at some place in the middle of nowhere. Guess where it was in the middle of?
Where?
The Simpson Desert.
Of course.
When they found it and Bill presented it back to his mother, she said, "I told you, Bill, it's the Simpson Desert Medal."
That's a great story, including the Darwin element to it. Wow. This one from Julian Lopez. I like this one. Would the AFL or even AFL clubs consider an international coach from a different sporting code? I know it sounds silly, but imagine the experience and the morale a world-famous coach would bring to any AFL club. Yes, they would not have the best knowledge of the game, but that's why clubs have 10-plus assistant coaches. I know your answer, Duff.
Yeah.
I just like the email. It's just interesting.
Well, it's left field, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. It's not really possible, is it? I mean, you have to have a...
Well, it's interesting, you know. There were people at Fremantle, when Rick Charlesworth was there as a consultant, who believed they should have just bitten the bullet and made Rick Charlesworth the senior coach. Because his tactics and his knowledge of the game and how the game should be played, he was the first guy, or one of the first guys, to say, what's this taking territory stuff? Why not try and control the ball from one end to the other? And why do you defend like that? Why don't you defend the way they defend in the rectangular team sports, which is the zone defence, of course. Mm. So Rick Charlesworth had all of that nailed down before other clubs and coaches got their head around it. There were people at Fremantle that thought, you know what, we should just make this bloke senior coach. So it's not as silly as it sounds, but you would probably want that guy to come in and be a senior assistant.
You would.
And then move on to be the senior coach.
This one from Martin Cole from East Vic Park. Hey, fellas, we'll try to make it quick. Do you think there's been enough scrutiny on the use of the Medisub? A couple of weeks ago, Connor West came off injured, in inverted commas, in the last quarter, and the sub had a run. West wasn't listed as injured and played the next week. Obviously, it didn't matter as we were getting smashed, but it's only a matter of time before it happens in a game that does matter. I believe the opposition team should be allowed to use theirs once a sub is activated. That's a good email. And let's not single out West Coast, because every club's been getting away with this. And yes, it is a common practice.
And as they're always going to, and it's why, if the AFL decided it was okay for a club to use 23 players, they should have just given them 23 players.
Yeah.
If they think they need 24, give them 24.
Yeah.
I mean, what difference does it make, really? They can limit the rotations, and they can limit the potential for a club to have to run an injured player around on the ground, and they can stop this rule being abused, which it clearly is by all and sundry.
From Paul James, Duff and Quarters. First time emailer, but absolutely love the pod. Hi, Paul, we love you too. I was born in Narragin, but now live in Brisbane, and the family and I are dangerously over the top Freo fans. Just like you, Duff, I sense the Suns game as a real danger. In saying that, I have sensed that with a fair few games this year, but I think that's just my subconscious thoughts reminiscing on recent seasons. Being at the game, it was a very hard watch. Let's blame that on the weather. But I think it's just a bend in the banana, and we'll be back on track against the Pies this weekend. The lid is still on, but the seal has been taken off and loosened with help from the tea towel. Keep the great content coming on the podcast. Love hearing about all things footy with that W.
So what was Paul's surname, sorry?
Paul James.
Paul James. So born in Narragin, where I went to school. So I don't remember a Paul James from Narragin or a James family, but obviously he was around.
Different demographic, Duff. Sorry, different age demographic.
Oh, thank you.
Different age demographic.
Thank you, Glenn.
Might be a lot younger than you. But
he might be. He could be. There is certainly room to move in being younger than me, correct?
Yes. This one from Marie O'Reilly. Do you think a top-end draft pick's development is somewhat negatively affected by being selected by teams at the very bottom of the AFL ladder or having to go to one of the expansion teams? For example, Horn Francis at North Melbourne and Gold Coast and their multiple draft picks over the years. I know the draft is designed to elevate flagging teams. However, wonder about the top-end draft development sometimes. Marie, thanks for the email, but what is the suggestion that you don't get a top-end draft player if you're a bottom-end team?
You know what I would do if I was a bottom team? And the reason I say this is what I've seen with David Mundy at Fremantle. I would try to make sure that when you have these young players, this gaggle of young players coming through, I would try to make sure that there's one hard-bodied, savvy midfielder in amongst them. Now, we've already talked about Ben Cunnington being missing and how those young players were able to play around him at times last year. Mundy's ability to win the hard ball at a stoppage and have the young players around him, be it Brayshaw, be it Sarong, be it Adam Chera before he left, have them hold their width and receive good quality ball from David Mundy, I think was a massive factor in their development. And I think they were able to play effectively in the midfield in their second, third and fourth seasons. So here's a thought, Quarters. Given that Tom Mitchell appears to be never that far off the trade table at Hawthorn, and he is your classic extractor and distributor by hand, maybe, even though it looks counterintuitive if you're a young team like North Melbourne trying to build, maybe he is a player they could look at to bring their younger players into the game, to be a bit of a battering ram inside the ferocity of the contest and create some space and time and good quality ball for those younger midfielders.
Yeah, you've made this comment in the past, particularly players such as Matt Rowell, Noah Anderson, particularly Matt Rowell, who's playing a little bit more outside now, but we were worried about his long-term future, weren't we?
Yeah.
If he's a battering ram all the time. Yeah, it's a really good point. I tend to agree. The other point I'd make about, if we're talking about top-end draft balance, I'll go back to my, I actually think we should double down on it. I think if you're a first rounder, it should be a four-year deal.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of seeing these top-enders leave too early. I think 4 years is a good passage of time. The club's made a big investment in you. You get time to see whether it's a good relationship or not.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that Horn Francis has now put contract talks on hold. So therefore, you know, what's got to happen between now and the end of next season? Well, clearly there needs to be significant improvement from North Melbourne.
Yeah, well, could be.
Yeah, well, I think there can be some improvement between now and the end of this season. They do have Ben Mackay in the back half. They do have Nick Larkey in attack. And they do have three or four very good young midfielders. So hopefully at some point, those young midfielders start to play footy that reflects their talent.
You settled on a winner of this week's cup.
Which one do you like?
I like Michael Brennan's. I'm assuming it's not Monkey Brennan, but even if it is, I'm sure it'd appreciate
it. Well, if it is Monkey, we're half a chance to get one of the beers.
We are, absolutely. Great fella. One of my favourites from that era. So, this week's carton of Gage Rhodes Albi Draft goes to Michael Brennan. To pick up your carton, you need a voucher. Just send us your details to this address to start with.
Send your mail to duff@wanews.com.au.
Thank you very much for joining the show today. Good luck to your team. Good luck with your tips. We hope you tip a few. We hope we tip a few. And we hope we've helped you tip a few. We'll be back on Tuesday to run the ruler over the round and talk about the ups and downs. Hopefully ups for both of our WA teams this week. And hopefully Quarters can sneak a win in there for the Hawks as well. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. For those with the touch, you can better your bet if you download the Tab Touch app today. Please gamble responsibly. Please call Gamblers Help on 1800 858 858 if you run into any difficulties. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why don't you get in touch? Send your thoughts to the Thirsty Camel mailbag at duff@wanews.com.au. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and of course, tell your mates. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on the game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.